Good morning, everybody. I am thrilled to be with you. This is Becky Spieth, and as you know, and I was talking to Mark about this a few minutes before we started the recording here, is that most of the times I don't bring in political things into this Bible study, partly because I know we've got people from other countries and things like that, and the Lord occasionally will lay on my heart to really speak very directly about what's happening and give some scripture and spiritual truth about the climate and the things that are happening today. And I was even surprised because I made a couple of comments on my Facebook page, which were not in any way meant to stir anything up with political views. I just said how elegant I thought the first couple looked at the inauguration. It just reminded me of Jackie O and just how elegant and dignified they looked. Wasn't trying to slam the Obamas or anyone else. They looked lovely, too. But I just, there was something about that powder blue suit that I loved. I would love to wear that outfit. And I just thought, she just looked so elegant. And I actually loved, my favorite picture of the entire day was when the Obamas and the Trumps were standing at the White House, walking down the steps, and each one of them, each couple, had red, white, and blue on, but they did it in the opposite fashion. And I don't know if they had planned it or not, but it looked so stunning and so breathtaking. And I thought, I'm so proud to be an American, that our leaders are having a peaceful passing of transition of government authority. And just to see, you know, how lovely it looked and to anticipate what would be seen throughout the day. And then my heart broke because instantly I had a few people say how great it was. But then I had people just coming out of the woodwork that have never even had a conversation with me start saying hateful things on my Facebook. And I just thought, you know what, I have no room for this. And I prayed about it and I asked the Lord, should I just, you know, unfriend them, take them off or whatever? And he said, speak truth. Speak truth. So I came back and I shifted some of the wording and things like that. And then as I was praying, I prepared my lesson for today, yesterday, and had it ready to go. And then as I was praying over it again this morning, the Lord said that he wanted me to speak to you about several different things. One being how ashamed I am of our country. The people that are in our country is what I'm talking about. And how they're acting and how they're responding. And I want to give you spiritual truth right from the Word of God. And what are we supposed to really be doing as believers in this time right now? So I'm going to talk about three things today. How to make wise decisions when you're given two choices that both seem really good. That was my original topic. I'm going to hit it just real briefly because I still believe there's someone that's going to listen to this recording or maybe that's on the line that needs to hear that message. Secondly, I'm going to talk about the current political climate and what our responsibilities are, and then the riots, protests, and marches, and what God really says to do about this in his word. Okay, so let's go to the Lord in prayer just to start off, and then we'll do the lesson, and then we'll close in prayer. Father God, I pray that you would put a guard before my heart and before my mind and before my mouth, that I would not sin against you. Lord, I pray that you would work and work through me and speak through me and give me supernatural wisdom and recall of your word to help share in your truth and your wisdom with your sons and your daughters this day. Father, we love you and thank you. We ask that you would just bless us with new understanding today. Bless us with your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. So what do we do when we're faced with a couple of really great options in either our career, our life, our business? You know, when God just kind of gives us a couple of things and they look good, or maybe you've got four or five and you're not really sure what to do. Luke 11:9-10 says, so I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened to you. So if you're wondering what to do, ask the Lord. I know that we were talking beforehand with Dawn, and she was saying, you know, would you please pray for January business? Ask for January business. And then be obedient with what God shows you. Even if it doesn't make sense or sounds a little strange, ask. Because he says that if you ask, you're going to receive. If you seek, you're going to find. If you want to really seek out and find out what God says to do about your business or your life, you need to ask him, and then you need to go and seek. That's an activity, not just sitting there waiting. Seeking is an activity that it requires action, that you go after it, and you find, and then what he wants you to do, and you do what he says, and then it says he's going to open the door for you if you're going to be knocking. Knocking also is an action, right? So most people can prioritize when they're faced with like a right or a wrong decision, right? So that's not what I'm talking about here. We get challenged when we are faced with two good choices or three good choices. Then we don't know really what to do because we're wondering, is it the God thing or the good thing? So how do you determine what to do? Well, there's a couple of questions that you can ask yourself or try that you can go through the process and you can figure this out. The first one is to ask maybe your overseer, whoever that is, or your coworkers what their preference would be for you to do. Seek godly wisdom, right? And then ask yourself, can one of the options be handled by somebody else? And if that's the case, pass it on to them and do the work that only you can do. Do the thing that only you can do that requires your voice or you as a person. Then ask, what option would be of greater benefit to those around you, especially your customer, the person that God has brought into your life to bless and to serve? You know, a lot of times we're like the merchant who was so intent on trying to keep the store clean that he'd never unlock the front door, right? So we're so busy doing all the office work and the behind-the-scenes work and the admin and redoing another flyer and doing all the things that aren't really serving our client that we never unlock the door like that merchant. You know, the real reason for the store is to have customers, right? The real reason to have your business is to earn money, right? So stop trying just to clean it and start doing your business. And then you can make your decision based on the purpose of your organization. That's another great way to see is, you know, is this in alignment with the purpose of why we're here? Now, I know for all of us that we realize that we are on a journey, right? We're on a journey. And God wants us to know that he's already given you favor. He's given our country favor beyond measure. Right? Psalm 30 verse 5 says his favor lasts a lifetime. So as long as my life's here, another life is here, God has favor. Did you know that he already released good things into your future? His favor covers you for your entire lifetime. When God laid out the plan for your life, what he did is he lined up the right people, the right circumstances, the right breaks, the right president, the right political climate. In our future, he's already released favor, supernatural opportunities, and divine connection. And he did the same for each person that was involved in the march, that was involved in taking office, in every single person, even if there seems to be controversy. The good breaks that you need in order to move forward have already been preordained to come across your path. We need to be obedient and do what God puts in front of us. If you'll stay in faith and you go out each and every day and be a person of excellence, you'll have times where it kind of feels like you just stumbled into God's blessings, right? We've all experienced that. You'll look back and think, you know, how did I get to where I am? I want you even to think about the last year in your life or your business. Think about the last couple of years, the last decade. I never thought in my wildest dreams I would meet the people that I meet, that I would have a business where I can pour into amazing people internationally, around the world, into government leaders from around the world, in business owners' lives that are Fortune 500, Fortune 100, Fortune 50 companies. Never in my wildest dreams. I'm a little ballerina and a little farm girl from Michigan. That's it. Look back at your life and look at the blessings, the favor, the good things. Not that you've been a victim by any means, but look at the good things in your life and ask, how did I get here? How did I get here is by the favor of God. You know, I'll tell you, I'm not the most qualified, but I've got promotions. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the most gifted or eloquent person, but the favor of God is on my life. And there's been times when I didn't deserve the break, but somebody went out of their way to help me. What happened? You walked into that favor that was already poured out on your path. Today, no matter what you might be facing, no matter what our government's facing, no matter what our country's facing, stop living in the fear and focus on moving forward. He's already ordered our steps and arranged good things for each and every one of us. Keep praying, keep believing, keep hoping, because there's favor in store in your future and in your journey. He's prearranged for us good things. You know, when we think about our government and the climate that we hear, I want you to really get a hold of this verse, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, the church in Corinth provided Paul with one of the greatest challenges. And in death, he wrote two amazing letters to them. He was forced to confront several problems. And then in his letter, he could have just, you know, given them a verbal spanking. He could have started riots. He was very influential. But what did he do instead? He saw the church's potential despite the problems. And he said, you know what? I want you to practice the 101% principle. And I learned this from John Maxwell. He says, find the 1% that you can affirm and then give it 100% of your attention. So if you have a disagreement, and I'm not here to say who's right, who's wrong. What I am here to say is I'm here to say that you find the 1% that you can affirm in this president, in this government, in this amazing country of the United States of America, and then you focus 100% of your attention on that, and you get behind this and stop the division. While Paul knew he had to confront issues, he began his letter with words of appreciation and love. And we know that all good leaders do this. They affirm before the confrontation. Good leaders, good people, look for the good in people, and they affirm it. Only then can they start addressing the problems. I don't know about you, but I don't want to blow up the White House, and I don't want to be behind anybody that would say they would want to blow up the White House or my country or do it any harm in any way. You know, God tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, yet we have so many people walking and living in fear. The answer truly is that no one, no thing, no circumstance has the ability to remove you from God's love. God loves us and he cares for us. He's with us, but he wants us to realize that we're in the process of his journey and that we need to believe with all of our heart that he's going to bring you into the promises that he made to you, the ones that he's going to give you hope and a future, that he's got good plan for you and not to harm you, that he is giving you the ability to create wealth, that he wants you to live in health and to be strong and mighty and to be bold. But to live in peace, his word says to live in peace. And he also tells us that he wants us to be victorious and to receive the blessings that he has for us. You know, God put the journey before each and every one of us. And we've been preordained to be in this moment. And for many of us, we've unfortunately been living in a spiritual plateau. We've kind of got easy about our prayer life. We've kind of thought, you know what, we're going to let somebody else make that decision. You know what happened in the presidential election, I believe with all my heart, is both sides got complacent. The time to have handled all of this and to do it in a peaceful and bold manner was during the election, during the race, the presidential race. Everyone in this country had the ability to vote, and many of the people that were marching yesterday did not even vote. So shame on you. if you want to cause riots, and I have nothing against having a diplomatic and democratic show of a peaceful way to say I disagree. But what I disagree with is when it goes against the Word of God, where the Word of God tells us that we are to stay in peace. My heart broke as I watched it as they were at the presidential luncheon and I saw the riots starting to take place in Washington. Our capital, the symbol of our freedom and our democracy for our republic. And do you know where they were starting fires and they were smashing? I saw them smashing in the windows of Starbucks, one of the most liberal companies in our entire country, one that promoted the other candidate. But for some reason, there were people that were protesting this president, and they were trashing and burning and smashing the things that were so behind what they supposedly were all to be in unity about. I'm saying for each and every one of us, we need to get up and get off of the spiritual plateau. It's time to continue on in your journey. It's time for us that we say, you know what, we're going to move to higher ground. We're going to do what the Lord says, and we're going to travel without fear or intrepidation because God's truly with us. Psalm 84:5 tells us, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on the journey and the pilgrimage. Set your heart on the journey that God has for you. And stand and be bold and be righteous. You know, God tells us if we need help, we need to ask him. He's going to give us the wisdom necessary to accomplish whatever's been set before us for this journey. God will lead us in the right direction if we let him. I want you to exercise your faith. I want you to trust in God. And Psalm 46:1 says, God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. If there's trouble, turn to God. Ask God, what is my responsibility? Because that's ultimately what we are in charge of, is ourselves and our walk with the Lord. You know, I know that this is causing a lot of unrest, especially in believers. And I want you to know that God tells us to deliberately come into peace and release yourself from stress. He wants you to step into the firm foundation of the faith of his word. What does his word say about fear? He says, fear not, 365 times, one for every single day of the year in the word. He says to be in relationship with him. He says to do the kingdom work because that's where the foundation is for us. We know that it's not what we're doing, but it's our position in Christ that's going to bring us to a position of strength. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I understand that right now our country, and for many of us, even just from the new year, we're in a time of transition. It's important that we keep our destination in mind. It's easy to lose track of what we've been called to do when we can look at all the things going on around us. But I want you to set your heart to know and to walk in truth as you maintain your faith in the promises of the Lord. Your divine purpose is going to start unfolding as you continue to move forward. Psalm 84:5 says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on the journey, right? So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility, plain and clear, it goes back to this prayer. You know, President Trump, even President Obama had been asking for prayers as they've been facing very complex and dangerous challenges of leading our country. We live in tumultuous times. We need to get behind our leaders and pray. We know that from Scripture that God can turn the hearts of kings. It tells us that in Proverbs 21:1, and we saw that happen in the Word time and time again. That means that we should be praying for God's will to be done and for our leaders to seek God and listen to him. We should pray that they should be surrounded by godly counsel, and most importantly, that our leadership would personally know God and the salvation that's found through faith in Jesus Christ alone. I'm not here to determine what their faith was for the Obamas or for the Trumps. That's not my position. God judges that, right? My job is what God tells me to do, and he says that we should be diligently praying for our leaders. We should be diligently praying that God would give our president, our Congress, our military leaders, our cabinet, wisdom. Our senators, our governors, our council members, they need our prayers, even if they're not the candidate that we voted for. Interceding for those in authority isn't an option. It's a biblical command that we're to obey. It tells us in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. If you want godliness and honesty, then you are called to pray. If you are a believer, you are called to pray. It's not an option. It's a command from the Lord. And I want you to understand that Paul was writing this, and he was instructing his protege Timothy at the time when Nero, one of the most vile leaders of all time, was leading Rome and the Roman Empire. Christians were viciously persecuted. They were sometimes put in animal skins and put in the arena before the hungry lions. They were covered in red pitch and used as human lanterns to light the streets of Rome. I don't see that happening in our country. Praise God. But Paul was saying to pray for him. Pray for these leaders. He was going to be martyred soon, and he knew it. And he still instructed Timothy to make prayer for the rulers of his day. Even when it was with Nero, he was deranged. He had issues, but he said, let me tell you, this needs to be your personal priority. So there should be a sense of urgency in our prayer life to understand that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The prince of darkness is grimly and powerfully at work in world affairs today. And prayer is a great battlefield, especially as we pray for those in leadership. That's where the victory is won. When Scripture says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of the water, in Proverbs 21:1, it means that our sovereign God can turn the heart of a king at any time and in any way. And if there are policies and platforms that don't or may not conform to biblical ethics, the only way to change it is through intercession. As Christians, we need to do this. This is how we transform. It tells us in Psalm 2:2-4, neither kings nor presidents nor mayors nor members of Congress are ultimately the authority of God, right? Because it tells us in that scripture that says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break the bonds in peace and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. So God is in control. Let's align ourselves with God. You know, think about it. Even with the prophet Jeremiah, he wrote to the Jewish exiles who lived in Babylonian captivity, he encouraged them not to protest or rebel against their captors, but to pray for them. He said, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. Jeremiah 29:7. So even in the midst of a very evil land, Jeremiah focused the Hebrew captives to pray God's blessing. So what are you doing? Where is your responsibility? It's in the prayer, right? You know, something that I've noticed is that our country, right after we elected President Trump, started protesting, resisting, started speaking against the new president. And those are the people that are causing the division. They're trying to breed fear and unrest in our country, and I do believe that we are battling against the principalities and the power of the air. I'm not saying come against these people. I'm saying that we need to pray. We each had the entire presidential race to voice our opinion, and we each had the opportunity to vote. That was the respectful, effective, and appropriate time to boldly fight and speak up for how you think the country should be run and who should run it. But most people didn't even bother to vote or to get involved in the election process, yet they feel justified in fighting against the country's choice in leadership and spreading fear and doubt and anger with their speaking and their actions. I want you to know that this is not empowerment. This is not what it tells us to do in the Word of God. This is not standing for good and for love. It's not coming into the place of peace that we are instructed and we are called to do. I want you to know that I work with women every single day, some of the most powerful women in industry in our country. And I want you to know, and I'm making this very bold statement, that I believe in women. I believe in empowerment. But the Women's March yesterday did not represent me at all. And I don't believe it truly represented women in this country. Because of the message, because of the anger, because of the hateful language. And I want you to know that I especially do not buy into the messages from that the crazy Hollywood cast that was just trying to create hate. I love bringing women together. I love empowering women to create businesses and ministries and to make a difference with all the opportunities that we have in this country. I can't imagine banding with women to fight against the blessings that we have here in America. I'm not going to adjoin myself to this false lie, this story from the enemy and from the devil about that we're victims. I am not a victim. I am not oppressed by my country and my government or by any man. If you want to see what it looks like to be truly oppressed, I mean, really, I want you to look at women in other countries. Look about the women that are oppressed by the Sharia law. They're oppressed in so many ways. That's not us here in America. Thank God that we don't live under that type of oppression. We live in America where we're free to go for our dreams and we're encouraged to express our beliefs. And there's a way to do it in a peaceful and peaceable way. You know, I want you to think about some of the true facts about this election. Women had the ability to run for a president. That's not oppression. We actually had multiple women run for president this term. That would never happen in a country that oppresses women. Shouldn't this be a time that we're really celebrating women in our country? I mean, what an incredible thing. You know, a fact, another fact is that Madonna said that at the Women's March that she thought a lot about blowing up the White House. And then thousands of women cheered. Shame on you. Why is that message okay with any woman that loves the freedom that she experiences in this country? Let's talk about another fact. Trump has more high-paid women executives in his company than men. He appointed a woman as his presidential campaign manager, and he raised his sons and his daughters to be leaders in his company and to start their own businesses. Shouldn't women be excited about this? Most of the women entrepreneurs that I work with, they tell me and they state word for word that this is the reason why they are in business is because they want to teach their children that they can have any freedom and any choice that they want, and they encourage them. We build their skills as entrepreneurs to express their freedom and have the business that they truly, truly desire. I can tell you, I've talked to thousands, and I'm not exaggerating when I say thousands of women, especially in the direct selling and coaching professions, that tell me when we're talking about their why, their real motivational why, the thing that that gets them out of bed every morning, the thing that they're on the planet for, is because they want to make a difference in the lives of their children and teach their children that they can have what they desire to have, that they can be what they desire to be, that they can live how they desire to live, that they can do what they desire to do, that they can give what they desire to give. And isn't that what Trump has done? I saw that. I mean, look at his beautiful daughter Ivanka. She looked like a princess at the presidential ball. I was also disgusted by our media that we didn't even focus to celebrate with our new president. I had to go and seek it out on YouTube to find a live stream so I could watch the presidential ball. Look at what he's done, and isn't that truly the desire that you have for your children? Isn't this what we should be celebrating? I don't want you to buy into the lies of the devil that we regardless of who you believe you are, whether you're a woman, if whether you're a homosexual, whether you are a child, you are not oppressed in this country. You live in a place where you have the ability to speak your freedom. So please do it with peace, honor, respect. That's what it tells us to do in the Word. Don't buy into the lie that you are oppressed victims who need to scream and yell that you might want to blow up the White House or that people hate you. If you've been mistreated, I'm so sorry. I'll pray for you. I'll do whatever I can to make the injustice right. Because my God is a God of love. My God is a love of peace. And he tells me to do the same. But he also tells me to speak truth with love. I want you, instead of buying into these lies, to go create something beautiful that makes a difference and encourages women and all Americans to live to their full potential. We're free to go create. You are free. So what are you doing with your freedom? Are you causing hate? Are you destroying property of others, belief of others? Or are you doing what God's called you to do, to create something beautiful, to impact the lives of what's here, and pray for those that are in this journey? I didn't see you step up and run for president. Pray for our president. Pray for our government. Pray for those that have so much hate inside of them that they feel they need to destroy other people. And know that God is in control. We don't have anything to fear. That whatever we have and whatever God puts before us, if we ask, we'll have things given to us. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, doors will be opened to us. Our focus should be on kingdom growth, knowing that God is in control. I want to really encourage you to get on your knees and pray. Our country needs it more than ever. I want you to find the 1% that you can affirm or agree on, and I want you to give it 100% of your attention. And I want you to step into what God has placed before you. I love each and every one of you. I love this country. And I know that God's got greater things for us, but we've got to step up. We've got to do our part. I hope that you've been encouraged by the words today. I know I'm going to have people already, I've already got people that have been messaging me. Is this recorded? Yes, it's recorded. Will it be available for the replay? Yes, it will be available for the replay. We will post it up on BeckySpeeth.com, usually within 24 hours. And it's also going to be... we always put the replay in the timeline. So I pray that you were blessed. I pray that the Lord continues to show you wisdom and guide you along your path. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we do pray for our president. We pray for the new cabinet that's coming in. Lord, we pray that you will bless them abundantly, more than we could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. I pray that you surround them with godly counsel. I pray that your will be done in all circumstances, and that each and every person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that they live it out. They live out love. They live out peace. Lord, I pray that even though some of those tough decisions need to be made, that you would encourage, that you would empower, that you would help President Trump do the right thing. And even if we don't understand, Father God, I pray that you would give us the ability to find the one thing that we can affirm and give it 100% of our attention. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see where we need to pray for our leaders, what specifically for them. And Lord, that we would be faithful, that we would do the intercession that you've called us to do, the mandate that's in your word. Also, that we would stay in peace, just like you've asked us to stay in peace, Lord. I pray that you would help us to be lovers and givers of peace, not causing hate or rioting, Father God. I thank you for the favor and the blessing that you've poured out on our lives and our country. We choose to look with eyes of faith past the circumstances into the good future that you've prearranged for us, in Jesus' name. And Father God, I pray for those families that have lost loved ones, Father God, that you would just continue to bless them and help them to find your way and your peace. Father God, I pray that you'll give Dawn creative ideas, that you'll shift her mindset, that favor would go out before her. Lord, I praise you and thank you for Cheryl's new vehicle. Lord, we're so excited about that. Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to bless her, and that vehicle would be blessed to take them to continue to spread the gospel wherever they may go. And Father God, I would thank you for the continued success that you've given Joy in her business. Father, I pray a blessing of favor upon our country, upon each state. Lord, upon every, this is your country. We rededicate it. We say, Lord, we will stand in agreement with your word, your principles, and we will be bold in faith to live and execute those. Lord, I pray that you would help us to find ways that we can love those that are hurting. And Lord, that you would bring peace back to this land. We call forth unity in Jesus' name. We know that we're not battling against individuals, but we're battling against the principalities and the power of the air. So, Father God, right now I take authority in Jesus' name over my country, over my state, over my county, over my city, over my neighborhood, in Jesus' name. And each and every person that's hearing my voice, Lord, we are doing the same. We are calling forth unity. Because that is, you tell us where two or three are gathered in your name, you're there also. Lord, you also tell us that a three-strand cord cannot be broken. So, Father God, we ask in Jesus' name that our country be turned back to you, that all unity be in place. Lord, I pray that you would bring peace now. We call it forth. We call favor to go out before President Trump and his cabinet as it goes forward. I pray that peace comes between the Senate and the House and the White House, Lord. And Lord, you tell us that even when we don't know what to pray, to intercede, and Holy Spirit will create an utterance that will be heard in the heavenlies. So, Father God, for those that don't know what to pray, help them still to come before you, to get quiet before you, and just to pray what's on their heart and allow Holy Spirit to translate into your words, into your ear. Lord, I thank you for the things that are taking place in this country. I see that that things are stirred and you are working. And Lord, I thank you that you are making America great again. But it's not through President Trump. It's you, and we give you the glory. Help us never to get our eyes off of the truth that you are in charge. We serve you. You are our King. Father God, we love you and thank you and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know this went a little bit longer than normal, and I appreciate those of you that have stayed on the line with us. Please let me know how God's working in and through your life. And I want to encourage you to join us each and every Monday. We do this at 8:25, where I take prayer requests and praise reports that are not recorded in case there's something confidential that you don't want mentioned in the call. And always make sure that you speak that and let me know if that's the case, because I want to honor you for that. But thank you for joining me, because I know that God is here in this midst. And I hope that you can hear my heart of love and of peace and of truth. And I want to hear how God's working in your life and in your business. And know that we do this every Monday. We try to come up with an encouraging word for your life and your business so that you can start your week together with other believers that are believing in a positive way moving forward, that we are victors and we are serving God in a mighty way. So I hope you join us. You can always post on The Christian Direct Seller. That's my Facebook page for the Christian aspect of my business. Of course, I put God first in every area, but that one is specifically named that so that you can know that you're with like-minded individuals. I love you guys, and I love this country, and I appreciate your faithfulness with being here with me this morning, but also being with me in the future. Take care, and God bless you. I'll be with you next week. Bye now.